Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Vince. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Monthly Policy Call on Tuesday, 10th of May, 2016. On the call today, we have Amar El-Sada, Avery Doria, Carlos Rao, Gangesh Varma, Klaus Stoll, Stefania Melian, Swati Mutukarma, Stefani Tarvanen, Bazani Badi, and Melian. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transmission purposes. Thank you very much. Over to Bernard.
Thank you, Mariam. So for the record, this is Stefani Tarvanen speaking. And besides the items we had in the agenda, we have wanted to have a brief review on the RPM progress, but since Kathy Kleiman is not present yet, we'll leave that until later. And go to the Thursday meeting preparation. So let's look at the Thursday meeting agenda. Mariam, can you bring that up in the view? Thank you. So the first real thing out there, okay, the concept agenda item for the RPM thing will have nothing to say at this point. But the Helsinki scheduling is the first thing, item 4 in the council agenda on Thursday. It's still somewhat in the air what how it exactly it will work out. Yeah, it was a group of volunteers who was dealing with this, but I'm not sure if any of them are here now. Anybody present who wants to? Oh, well, I say, okay. Let's drop that. And Kathy Kleiman has just joined us. So let's backtrack a little and talk about RPM working group. Kathy, would you like to talk about that at this point?
I think I've just been added in. Thanks, Stepani. Let me just mute my speakers on the web. And hello, everybody. Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group. We have now begun what may be an infinite working group with the study of all rights protection mechanisms adopted by ICANN and the GTLDs to date, which is not all domain name disputes. There are private domain name disputes out there, which we can talk about at some point if you want. But this is... we're going to start with the rights protection mechanisms in the new GTLDs, in part because we've been told that we have to review that in order for the next round to open. So that's going to be the Uniform Rapid Suspension, which we call the URS, and then all the things surrounding the Trademark Clearinghouse, this great repository of trademarks that exist in a country. They're registered trademarks in a country, and we're giving them this kind of global protection through an ICANN-created device called the Trademark Clearinghouse, which ICANN has subcontracted out as a big database to be managed. And as everybody probably knows, when you register a new GTLD, if you happen to register a string that is identical to something that's already registered in the Trademark Clearinghouse, you will get a trademark notice. So if I want to register fox.horse, or if my friend Adam Fox wants to register fox.horse because he has horses, he will get a notice that says that Fox Broadcasting or Fox News is out there in the Trademark Clearinghouse, and does he want to go ahead and still register? We've been very concerned about the chilling effect. The non-commercial stakeholder group and non-commercial users constituency have been concerned about the chilling effect of this for a long time, and we're finding out that tens of millions of people are actually turning around and not going forward to assert what may be completely legal rights. So that's one of the things we'll be looking at, is the trademark notice. The whole sunrise period, that there's a right of first refusal for trademark owners who are in the Trademark Clearinghouse, regardless of whether it's their category of goods and services, regardless of whether the new GTLD is intended for non-commercial use. and there was an interesting fight with that sucks over that one. So we're looking at all of these, and we're going to start with the new GTLDs, and then after what we think will be a year or 2 years, we'll go on to the UDRP and begin a process that we think will be another 2 or 3 years for the review of the UDRP. But that's the new Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, and we're not just reviewing. We're supposed to be making suggestions as to whether we should be expanding or contracting or how we should be changing these things. And I am now co-chair, along with Phil Corin of the Business Constituency and J. Scott Evans, who is a founder of the Intellectual Property Constituency, and now that he's at Adobe is with the Business Constituency as well. So the three of us are serving as co-chairs and working with Mary Wong and Lars Hoffman. I think that's background. Happy to take any questions people might have. Tapani, thanks for putting me first. And thanks, everybody, for putting me first, because I leave for New York shortly.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Anybody else wants to ask or comment on this? Really? Everybody knows everything about it already? Not even curious? Okay, Carlos, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. This is Carlos. Thank you, Kathy. I wonder, I mean, we are you talking only about all the second level trademarks, and then in 2 years you are going to start handling the new first level? I didn't got it very, very clear. And I wonder how slow the process is now that we got a few hundred new trademarks in the first level. I would appreciate if you can clarify that, please. Thank you.
Carlos, that's a great question. And in fact, it came up at our meeting, at the working group meeting as well. We are dealing with the second level. When we talk about domain name disputes, we're generally, almost always, and I'll give you the one time we're not, we're almost always dealing with the second level domain names. The reason why is that the application process for new GTLDs is completely outside our bailiwick, with one exception. So ICANN created special, the ICANN community, the applicant guidebook, created special mechanisms for handling the new GTLD registrations. And that's all been working its way through for the last 3 or 4 years, since 2012 when the applications came in. So if you applied for Coach and Coach Handbags thought that there was a problem, so you applied for .coach and you were going to use it for handbags, and Coach Handbags thought you'd be infringing on their trademark, there was a dispute. There was an objection process at the top-level domain created as part of the application review and as part of the application evaluation process, and you would take it to WIPO. That's who ICANN named as the top-level intellectual property evaluator, dispute resolution provider. If you were a community and you had a problem with a community objection, so somebody was registering this is not an actual case, but .Navajo, and you were the Navajo people, and you didn't think that was your representative. This actually happened in the music communities and others. Then you would go to the International Chamber of Commerce that ICANN had appointed as the dispute resolution provider for community objections. So what we're talking about for the Rights Protection Mechanism Policy Development Process Working Group is almost exclusively second-level domains. Kathy.xyz, Kathy.link, Kathy.ninja. But there is one exception, and that's something called the PDDRP, and God knows what that stands for, but that has to do with disputes over the top-level domain, but ones that arise after the application process. Nothing has gone through the PDDRP yet, but basically the example that we used when we were writing it, because I was part of the team that was on it, was let's say you register .apple and you're not Apple Computer, but you say that you're going to be using it in the generic sense. You're going to represent Apple growers around the world. That is a very legitimate and very legal use of a word in its generic and industrial sense. So, but then let's say you sell it and the next person who comes in, the next owner or three owners down, decide that they are going to start registering Apple trademarks and they are going to use it to compete in the electronics and computer industry, then Apple Computer can initiate what's called a PDDRP and say, wait a second, you're misrepresenting how you said you would use this top-level domain. I don't know if that answers it, Carlos, but it's a really, really good question. We're mostly looking at second-level issues.
No, but the last part was very important, the Apple explanation. Thank you very much, Kathy. That was what I was looking for. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Kathy and Carlos. And I see that Klaus wants to speak. Klaus, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Tapani. Kathy, first of all, I'm watching the last few weeks and months your work in the different working groups, and I think it's absolutely recommendable, especially because some of the parts are fairness trading. But, Kathy, can you help me a little bit with, I feel overwhelmed with not being a legal person, not being a U.S. trademark trained person. I hear the things, I try to understand the things, but somehow I need a kind of primer or some kind of basic course to explain everything to me. Otherwise, I'm feeling like somebody who thinks he understands, but he really doesn't understand. And I have the suspicion that other people are in the same point. Not that we haven't got enough work to do and haven't got enough things on our plate, but I just could use a little bit more being secure about what I'm talking about and what I'm thinking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. Maybe Kathy has something to say, but it sounds like you would like to have a brief tutorial session on what's going on here or something like that to go on. Kathy?
Yes, more or less. I doubt it is possible to do it in an hour and a half, but every little helps.
Should we have a special call on this, maybe? Kathy?
I'm not going to volunteer for that because I'm maxed out. If someone else would like to do it, I agree with Klaus that it's an incredibly good idea. We are up against the most experienced trademark attorneys in the world who are pushing, frankly, U.S. trademark law to its outer limits. And U.S. trademark law has adopted in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, some really broad provisions that aren't well-defined. The concepts called dilution and tarnishment. And there is a question of how this kind of expansion of U.S. trademark law affects the world and the global domain name system. So, Klaus, you put your finger on, you know, huge questions. We did do two things in the working group already. We gave two webinars, and I got in a lot of trouble because I insisted that these webinars be open to both members of the working group and observers. And you would have, don't quote me on this, but you would have thought the world was coming to an end. And so everyone in the working group was invited, and the idea was the first one talked about kind of procedurally what is an ICANN process and what's happening and where does the policy development process fit into the kind of the life cycle of a policy at ICANN. And the second one, much more substantive, and I recommend it to people, was an overview of the UDRP and the URS and the Trademark Clearinghouse and trademark notice and trademark claims. It doesn't go down into tons of detail, but it's a great first step, a great overview. And I edited the slides, and Phil edited the slides, and Jay Scott edited the slides, and Mary Wong and Lars did a great job writing them. So if you haven't seen that, we should circulate those slides, that webinar, and I would listen to the explanation. I would actually listen to it, and I don't normally go back and listen to meetings. But these were intended as overviews, and perhaps from there, after everybody's heard that, perhaps we can have a deeper dive. And I'd certainly be happy to help someone organize that, but I'm not sure I can do it by myself. But great questions, Klaus. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And I note Amr writing in the chat that there have been webinars on that, which some of us have unfortunately missed, but they should still be available. So let's try to find out to listen to them and come back later on that, as Stephanie seems to be suggesting already. Any other comments or questions on this topic? No? So everybody will... Okay, Stephanie, you have a comment. Please go ahead. Stephanie?
Sorry, I didn't have my sound hooked up. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Kathy, what are you going to need from us? Do you have any idea? Are there going to be early consultations? I think some of us are already stretched with what we've got, but we'd like to support you whenever you need it.
Oh, that's always my favorite question. Thank you. Can I ask people who are in the room, the Adobe room, to raise their hands if they're in the working group? It's such a big working group that I think I know everybody in there, but I'd love to know anybody who's participating as a member of Observer. Can you just raise your hand or check mark or something? Armor, Klaus, anybody else? Dennis. Anybody else? Okay. Well, does you know, first thing would be if more people want to join, that would be great. We are looking at a lot of intellectual property attorneys. They've been waiting for this review for 15 years in some cases. A lot of people there. Thank you for raising your hand. And so that's one of the things we could use is just more feet on the ground, more hands, you know, raising and asking questions in the working group. So if you can think of people who might be interested, please let us know. An intellectual property background is helpful, but not critical. And it doesn't have to be trademark if it's an intellectual property background and copyright and fair use. That could be very helpful as well. You know, if the human rights people want to join, free expression is a big issue here as well. So please consider joining. Other than that, we will be bringing out letters. In fact, this group is going to be issuing letters, I think, for each rights protection mechanism that we review. So a letter will come to the SOs and ACs for the PDDRP that we were just talking about, the dispute over the top level, the changing of use of a top-level domain. And then it will come out for the Trademark Clearinghouse, and then it will come out for the Uniform Rapid Suspension. It would be great if people who are not on the working group could take the lead, could work with people on the working group and kind of draft these things, because working group people are going to be really, really busy. So, you know, responding to the letters in a timely manner is going to be really, really important. And a lot of it's just raising great questions because we're going to be doing a lot of data gathering in this working group. So responding to those letters will be great and helping the working group kind of slog through all of this by non-working group members will be really, really appreciated. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you, Kathy. For those who haven't checked it recently, you can see that Mariam just pasted the PDP wiki page URL in the chat. And I hope the webinar links are there as well. Okay, any other comments or questions on this topic? No? Okay, so everybody go check that wiki and look at the webinars and so forth, and we'll get back to this the next suitable opportunity. Okay.
Thanks, Stephanie. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for yourself, Kathy. You have that great presentation here. And you will have to do that again, I'm afraid, quite a few times as these go on, because this is really a long process. We will not be done with this anytime soon. Okay. But the next agenda item we're looking at the council agenda item 4, which is the meeting B scheduling. I'm not sure if we have anybody present here who was in that small working group. Rudy was, but he's not here. Is there anybody else? I think not. So, does anybody else of the councillors have any ideas what's going to happen about that on Thursday? No? Anyway, one thing we should talk about here is, do we want to have an NCSG session there, and if so, what kind? We've given deadline until the 18th or something to call for such, but it would be very useful if we could actually have an idea about that now, so that on the council session on Thursday, we could tell that the NCSG wants wants this kind of meeting or that kind of meeting or doesn't want any. So, opinions called for, do we want an NCSG session there, and what about? I see Amr, you have your hand up. Amr?
Hey, thanks, Tapani. This is Amr. Just on your last question of whether NCSG should have a meeting in Helsinki or not, I think it would be a good idea. I think it would be ideally NCSG would have a meeting as early as possible during the ICANN 55 meeting schedule. I think we're lucky enough to have members from the NCSG on each of the PDP's leadership teams for the three huge PDPs that are beginning. So we have Kathy on the RPMs, we have Avery on the new GTLDs, and we have David on the RDS on Hutu. So I think it would be ideal, considering that this meeting format is going to be focused on policy, for us to have the opportunity to sort of huddle together and get briefings from Kathy, David, and Avery, and prepare us for what we should be doing during this policy-centric meeting in Helsinki. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. And looking at the comments, it seems that people do think we should have one. At least those of you on the policy committee have seen that request that we had to provide if we are going to have a meeting. Okay, let's give it to everybody else as well. Okay. I want somebody to help me writing down the proposal, indicating what we want to have there, what the title for them, and so forth. Any volunteers doing it like tomorrow? A brief. It shouldn't be too complicated, but still something. You look at that, you can see what kind of information we must have. Description, audience, so forth. Any volunteers helping me write that up? Okay, Klaus, I see your hand is up.
Yes, I see that Stephanie is volunteering, but what I wanted to say is, could we have try, I know I'm asking for the impossible, but could we try to have a session where we just don't report on development, but really have a little bit of time of exchanging ideas? I really would like to have some people from NPOC and people from NCUC actually talking about substances issues and not just reporting on ongoing developments. I think that's what we need, and that's what the B meeting is for. And I don't mind sitting in a room for 2 hours and actually think about ideas. That's all I would like to say. I know I'm asking for the impossible, but I think it would be a good step forward.
Thank you, Klaus. I don't think that's impossible at all, at least talking whether it's possible to come out with something. But the outcome is impossible to predict, but trying to have a meeting with talking with should not be impossible. Whether we can, how long meeting we can squeeze into schedule, that I don't know, but it's certainly worth asking. So I see that we have Stephanie.
As long as we can get and as interactive and as communicative as possible, then I'm fine. It doesn't have to be 2 hours or 90 minutes or whatever, as long as we have a little bit of time to think together.
Thank you, Klaus. That sounds definitely like a good idea. So we have everybody volunteers, write it up in the chat, and I look you up there later and send you email like tomorrow morning, and we'll see how we work on this. But it should not be too difficult to come up with a proposal. Whether we actually get it or not, that depends. But at least we'll have a request and something our councillors will hopefully bring up on Thursday, the council session. Any other comments on the Helsinki agenda? No? Okay. Let's move on. I don't want to drag this any longer than a must. The next item on the council agenda is discussion on the status of cross-community working group on internet governance. And since Carlos seems to be introducing that to the council, maybe you could introduce it to us as well. Carlos?
Yes, this is a very short note. We started discussing in Marrakesh to see if the CCWG on internet governance was complying with the new framework for CCWGs. Excuse the redundancy. And we discussed it in a few of the calls, and there is a proposal by Olivier, who is the natural leader of the group, to start separating the calls, because there are many calls and emails just about logistics, organizing presentations in the international fora, et cetera, which take a huge amount of time. So, and it's very difficult to organize the calls and so on. So we're trying to separate real internet governance policy from just organization of fora and presentations and so on. By the way, Avery is in the line. She did a very good job in Geneva a few days ago, for those who missed it. So the idea that staff and the group propose is to get better organized for the next important meeting, which is in October, which is the World Conference on Standardization from the ITU, which has a few working groups that directly relate to internet governance issues. So hopefully we will have a better organization and a better focus on what is real policy discussion on internet governance, as separate from just getting organized to meet next week in Singapore or something like that. So it's a short note, but collaboration has been very, very active, and it has been in the agenda of the CCWG. So I hope that the test in October of the World Conference on Standardization will help us clear up a little bit the fog on this working group. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. I see that Milton has a question on this already. Milton, please go ahead.
Hello, everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Wanted to ask Carlos, Raul, what exactly is the composition of this group changing? Do you really think, I thought we'd had some discussions, and I apologize if I haven't been up to date on those discussions, but we had some discussions about whether we should support renewing this committee at all, and I think generally people thought that it was okay to renew it, but that it needed to be changed in important ways. And I just wonder, how is this committee changing other than what you described sounded like, oh, we're going to stop frittering away time discussing procedure and we're going to actually do something. But is the composition changing? Are the people on it changing? Is its charter changing? Anything like that?
Thank you, Milton. This is Carlos again, for the record. We the test is actually the charter, the beginning and the end of a cross-community working group. This is like the standard measure of a cross-community working group. But this was defined, let's say, after it has been a separate process to define that. So the group has a clear charter. We have revised the charter. We found that the group is not reporting regularly to the chartering organizations, for example. That's one of the conditions in the charter that we assume they should at least do. We have recognized that the scheduling of the calls is terrible, so that the participation is very limited to the people who are going to participate in the meetings, and this is a second major problem that we have recognized. there. We still have the problem as compared with this new framework that it's an open-ended CCWG, and that tends to limit the participation to the people who can really go to those meetings, which is, let's say, a small, very important, but small sample. So we are aware of all these limitations. There is no proposal to close it or to change the charter right now. There is the idea that it should fulfill at least the minimum conditions of the actual charter and test over the next 6 months if some policy can be produced. And so having discussed that with the small group, that's what I'm presenting to the council next Thursday. And the recommendation is to pay a little bit more attention over the next few months to see if something substantial comes there and give it a try, I think, because I have to recognize it's a very important bridge between the people who are interested in internet governance and ICANN staff that is dedicated to that. Let's say it's the official channel to be in contact with Nigel. And that's very important, but maybe if it doesn't work that way, what I would suggest is not call it a cross-community working group and forget about the charter and just establish these communication channels if it's only a communication channel for logistics. I think that the name right now is a little bit oversized to call it a cross-community working group on IG. That's my personal opinion, but anyhow, the discussion has been very active since Marrakesh, and we just have to pay some attention. I don't think by Helsinki we will have anything new, but I really strongly recommend everybody to keep an eye if there is going to be some real policy work on these working groups 3, 17, and 20, I think, of the World Conference on Standardization. That will be the test if the CCWG is useful or not. Thank you, Milky.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. I see it. Amr, you have your hand up. Amr, please go.
Yep. Thanks, Tapani. This is Amr, and thank you, Carlos. And I just wanted to, I was going to say something, but then Milton asked that question on whether a review of membership was an option or not, and sort of reviewing the charter. And I just wanted to say that Milton, your question is actually extremely well-timed. My understanding of this whole topic coming up on council is because the charter actually requires the chartering organizations to review the charter on an annual basis. And they're supposed to do that by the annual general meeting, so the GNSO council actually began its review of the charter a little later than it should have. If anyone in the NCSG has any concerns about the charter, which includes the membership on the group and across the different stakeholder groups and constituencies of the GNSO and other chartering organizations, I believe ALAC is the other one. If there are issues that you would like to raise, right now would be a good time. If not now, then you'd probably have to wait until the AGM at the end of this year, assuming that no changes to the charter are made. One of the things that the council may also be looking at, and I think it's important that we are prepared for this, or let's say certain councils may bring up certain issues. One of them may be the actual format of the group. Currently, it's a cross-community working group. I think when this topic first came up, someone had suggested that the format could possibly be changed to a cross-community working party. I think it's important for folks here, especially those who believe that this may not be a good idea, to be prepared to address that in case it does come up. So I just thought I'd raise those points. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. Carlos, you want to respond to that?
Just a clarification. I've been playing the role of liaison from the council. Actually, the representative of the non-commercial stakeholder group and co-chair of the group is Rafiq, and of course we have to take his role here. But in the end, over the last few weeks, it has been mostly Olivier and myself who have been really revising the papers and trying to discuss who is going to do the report, et cetera, et cetera. But we should include, as NCSG, we should include Rafiq in this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Unfortunately, we don't have Rafiq present here at the moment due to inconvenient time zone, but we can't have everybody. I see that Marilia, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Tapani. Actually, to follow up a point, because I think that what Amr raised is important. I think that some of us in the GENESO have tried to defend that it's important for the CWG to continue as it is, because I feel that we don't have a unified position among us. But I think that the time is coming in which we will have to have a unified position about that. My impression is that we have some CWGs that are working very little. Maybe the CWG on internet governance is an example of that, in terms that the themes that we have on the agenda of internet governance are so many, and this group could be an important way to voice concerns on these themes. And maybe it has fallen short on that, partly because I feel that some of us, including some of us in NCSG, has not been involved as they could have. And this group has had some people who have been very vocal and sort of dominated discussions there, and that has not been helpful to the way that the group has advanced. However, one thing that makes me consider what to do is that I don't feel this is an important group for discussion, but most of all, I feel that the group is important to keep ICANN staff accountable on issues that they are doing in other spaces related to internet governance that many of us have no control of because we're not there. And my fear is just that we lose this space, because I don't know if they would feel as prone to come and talk to us and be accountable and transparent if we were only a group of folks that likes to sit together and discuss internet governance in an informal way. The fact that it is a cross-community working group brings people to be there all the time. We always have NIGO, we always have Tarek. There are things that we found out in terms of ICANN participation elsewhere that we could only find out because these guys were there. So I do feel that there's a role to play in terms of keeping these people accountable. There's a role to play in terms of exchanging information, but it has fallen short of everything that it could deliver being a space to discuss internet governance. So I think that what we should think is that, do we want to occupy the space? I see that Farzi mentioned that she put her name forward to substitute Bill. Maybe we have some people there that for the moment cannot fulfill their roles, and maybe it's time to renew the group and give other people the chance to participate. Instead of changing the status of the working group, maybe changing the representatives could be a first step, and then we can analyze sometime from here. If that doesn't work, maybe it's time for us to think about that. But I wouldn't change it from a CWG to something else, at least in this moment. It's not like I have a close position on that. I have kind of shifted my position many times, but that's how I feel, at least right now.
Okay, thank you, Marilia. Anybody else want to comment on this? I see there is a fair amount of discussion in the chat. Okay, Klaus, you want to have your hand up? Klaus, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to support one aspect of Marilia's comment. Is it looks like really that in a lot of areas, staff at the moment is going off on their own, and we lose absolutely control of what is going on. And we need to be aware of it. For me, I'm having very, very painful experience on the outreach front. But others have similar experience in other areas. So we need to group and regroup about certain topics. But again, we are only few, and there are so many topics, and I wonder when are we going to break, because we just have to raise our hands and say we just don't have enough work power around to deal with all the problems that are thrown at us. Marilia, I think you are absolutely right on that one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Klaus. Anybody else? See, there's quite a amount of discussion in the chat, but I guess I won't repeat that. If nobody else wants to raise their hand on this subject, let's move on. The next item on the council agenda would be the transition plan, but I think I'll move that later in the hope that Robin will join us later. And let's look at the next one. Item 7, the permanent protection of certain Red Cross identifiers. Do we have anybody here now actually interested in that? Want to comment? Councillors? Are we happy to ignore that? Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. This is Amr. We could ignore it at our own peril. I'm honestly still a bit puzzled on why this is coming to the GNSO Council. We had a very very detailed briefing from someone from the International Red Cross during the last council meeting, and we're meant to be continuing the discussion. But what we did get on council was a long and detailed briefing of why they have grievances with some of the what they perceive to be as lack of protections to some of their names and acronyms and so forth. And I think this is something that's been addressed at length on a PDP that addressed this in the past. And I'm really not sure what the purpose of this coming to council again now is. Is it to reopen a previously closed policy discussion, or is the council going to be asked to do something? Because so far, from what I could tell, we've actually had no requests to do anything. We've just been getting information on this. But I think we should dig into this a little deeper. During the presentation, in the last council meeting, I didn't even understand what all their grievances were. They had a limited time to speak and obviously had a lot to say, so we're just kind of flying through things. I'm guessing there are folks in the NCSG who are more familiar with this, and we had many members on a PDP that dealt with the protections for the Red Cross and other organizations. But it would be nice to get some direction on this. And I think, on council, we should definitely really try to require someone to pinpoint what it is we're being asked to do about this at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. I see that Klaus is next on the queue. Klaus, please.
Amr, you are raising a very, very important point, and it's one which is really next to my heart since about five years. Maybe it's even the reason my NPOC was even founded. But Amr, be aware about one point. The reason why it all comes up again is that there is a mixture between Red Cross and IOC. And I think we all basically think there needs to be some protection for the Red Cross, but not everybody agrees for the IOC, for the Olympic. And the background why it comes back and back and back and back again is to dilute the argument by bringing the two together. It's really all the time trying to bring the two together which don't belong together. The Red Cross is in a completely different category, like the Olympic Committee. And this is why that's a tactic since literally the last 5 or 6 years. And that's what you have to deal with. And I'm sorry that I'm wasting again so much time on it.
Okay, thank you, Klaus. I see Stephanie next in the queue. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Klaus has explained it a wee bit. Thank you, Klaus. My question is really, is this one of those issues? Because I think, as Klaus said, we're all completely, as they say in Quebec, débordé, which basically means
the woman over the side of the canoe, you know. We can't manage much more. So I kind of would like to look at this and say, hey, there's enough IP lawyers that are going to be jumping all over this. Does NCSG need to care about it? Because if we don't, then it's safe for us to ignore it and concentrate on the other stuff, like, for instance, the review of the committee that Carlos is on, the Competition and Consumer Trust. To me, that worries me more than this. But I don't know. I mean, if this is going to bite us, we need to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Kathy, you're next.
Hi, still hanging out in the background a bit, guys. Amar, I missed your introduction. Isn't there a working group working on this right now, the IGO-INGO, which is due to report out? I'll wait for the answer to that because I'm monitoring the IGO-INGO, and I can give you a briefing on that and where it looks like that's going.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Amar. No, this isn't about the IGO-INGO protections or the PDP. That's the PDP that Phil Corwin and Petter Renforth are co-chairing. And that's not what this is about. I think this is about conflicting GAC advice with previously developed GMSO policy that the board is trying to reconcile with each other. And this was a PDP working group. I don't remember the exact name of the PDP, but I know that Thomas Rickard had chaired it. And the GMSO Council adopted the recommendations of that PDP working group at the first Buenos Aires meeting. And since then, the ICANN board has adopted the recommendations from the GMSO that do not conflict with GAC advice and have put the recommendations that GMSO made that do conflict with GAC advice on hold until they can somehow reconcile the two together.
But so isn't this dealing with IGOs, international governmental organizations?
I think this issue is specific to the International Red Cross and not to the International Olympics Committee. This issue is specific to the IRC, and that's why we had someone from the IRC briefing the GNSO Council last time. And so what I believe the board can do is that they can ask the GNSO Council to make changes to its policy recommendations. And in that case, the GNSO Council would have to, procedurally speaking, would have to develop a certain set of changes, specific changes that it wants made, and then refer that back to the community and possibly reconvene the previous PDP working group.
Okay.
Or at least attempt to, and ask them what they think about the changes being made. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Amar. Here's my response, which is, one, we should care, and I'll tell you why in a second. And the other is that, like the Who Is, we're seeing the same issues coming up again and again and again. And the Who Is, when certain groups don't get enough privacy, they come back again, and they started, they started five different proceedings going on in hopes that we won't be in one of them, and they can get what they want through. With the Red Cross protection, it is a duplicate of what's going on. The IGO-INGO is looking at protection of international governmental organization names and international governmental organizations. And what we found, what that working group has found, is that there are many, 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 as you would imagine, repetitions. Once you dealing with three-letter acronyms, there's a million uses of them for non-commercial organizations, for all sorts of different groups. The classic example is the World Health Organization that could never respond to us when we asked them why they needed protection at every second level domain, including .rock and roll, when clearly there's a band called The Who that is not confusing at all with the World Health Organization. They never, ever had a good answer for that. So the larger picture here is the issue of blocking, and that's been an enormous issue for the non-commercial stakeholder group. And before that, non-commercial users constituency, before NCSG was founded, and before MPAC was founded. And that is the idea that one group wants to own a string of letters at the second level, and the top level too, actually, but particularly at the second level and all top-level domains, regardless of whether it actually relates to their category of services, and even governmental organizations offer services. And that idea has been rejected again and again and again, and it looks like the GAC is back, and it looks like it's about to be rejected again by the IGO-INGO working group, but I don't want to predict what's going to come out of that yet because we haven't written the report. But, yeah, this is a big issue because everybody views it as a slippery slope. Once we start blocking some, we'll keep blocking more. So there's real worry about this. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. This is Amar again. Sorry, Tapani.
Go ahead, Amar.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I completely agree with everything Kathy just said. I think this is again just an attempt to, on one hand, by the GAC to really have its way. Because it has a position on this, and the GNSO didn't agree, and they just keep coming back at us trying to get us to change it and change the GNSO recommendations, and the IRC are more than happy to sort of entertain any attempt to do this. I think this has already gone through an extremely exhaustive PDP working group, and I remember the GNSO Council adopted those recommendations before I got on council, and I was glad that the GNSO was over with this project before I had to deal with it, but it just keeps coming back at us all the time, over and over again. I completely agree, and I think we should really be very careful about what kind of protections we grant, and decisions to do so should be done using proper GNSO processes and not because the GAC says we don't agree with what these processes come up with. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. I have Carlos, the next in queue.
Yes, I just want to comment that there is a note by Phil Corwin that this IGO-IGN group, finally got an expert opinion on these issues, and the expert opinion, if I'm not wrong, he will report during the council meeting. But in a nutshell, is that each international organization is different. So I don't expect to have one policy for all of them, first. And second, he says that the Red Cross has a big merit. And I agree with him and with Kathy. We should care about Red Cross. And to Klaus' comment, the problem with the Red Cross is that there are two international organizations in Geneva. One is the International Committee and the other is the Federation. And I don't know how close or far away they are, but that's part of the problem. And the last comment by Stephanie is the CCT, which got into a very slow start because we're waiting for some international surveys by Nielsen and analyses and so on. So we are just getting up to speed. There are six people from the GNSO are part of the CCT review. We are coordinating closely with the PDP on subsequent rounds. And anytime you have questions, I would be glad to answer questions on CCT. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I see that Dave, you have your hand up. Dave, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, actually, I mean, I think Amar has been following the details of, you know, the wrangling with council this time around issues a little better than I have, but everything he said sounded correct to me. I do disagree, I think, with Kathy's description of what's going on in the IGO-INGO working group, because that specifically is curative rights protection, so it's post-delegation, and the issue that's before council, including, you know, complete blocks on delegation. So the stuff that's being discussed in the current IGO-INGO working group is certainly relevant, it's certainly interesting and relevant to debate, but technically is anything that's like pre-delegation block is outside the scope of that working group because it's a specifically a curative rights working group, so post-delegation, which is because the prior working group on IGO, INGO and so on couldn't come to an agreement on that curative right, so we set up a separate working group to deal with that issue. This current one sort of comes sort of directly out of the failure of the first one, although the things were not dealt with in the first one. It certainly is the case. The other issue is that the Red Cross, the ICRC, of course, insists that they are a totally separate and different kind of organisation than all other IGOs and INGOs. So they demand to be not thrown into that process. But, I think most of the people who've looked at the law would go, well, sort of and sort of not. And there's certainly, if they have a legal basis, it doesn't necessarily follow that if they have a different legal basis for their rights that they necessarily need to be treated differently by ICANN. They've always sort of demanded they be treated differently, but not actually been able to come up with, a very strong explanation of exactly how, other than they don't like being thought of as the same sort of thing. It's certainly the case that they have a very strong legal basis for the Geneva Convention, which is hopefully sort of supported all signatory nations and so on. But the main point I wanted to make was, yes, this isn't part of the ongoing issue that's been on forever, but that current IGO, INGO working group, because it's specifically curative rights, doesn't deal with some of these issues, and we can't simply sort of kick this to the current working group. We have to deal with it as council. If council is going to deal with it, and if we are going to eventually give what they want, we would have to reopen the old working group, which we can't do until we've essentially decided to tell them exactly what question it is that we are reopening them to consider. So is my understanding. So I think this is going to be quite going for a while, and council will have to deal with it, unfortunately. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you, Dave. Any other questions, comments on this topic? Okay, let's move on. The next agenda item is the possible integration of the pending implementation of the translation and transliteration of GTLD contact data PDP recommendations with the implementation of FICUIS. And it seems to me that this is also a perfect time to talk about the RDS working group news, anything related to the Hutu process, and I am hoping that Stephanie, would you like to lead us on this? Stephanie, hello.
I don't think I want to lead you on that one. What was that last one that you just reeled off, Stephanie? I'm not on that one. I'm only on the RDS one, the Hutu one.
Is there anybody who wants to pitch on this specific subject on this agenda item? Council agenda, because that's anyway the cool stuff here. Amr? Okay, Amr, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Tapani. I'm sorry, could you hold for just 1 minute, please?
Okay. Anyway, after Amr deals with his call, nonetheless, after...
Would you like me to jump in and update on Hutu there, Tabani?
Yeah, that's what I had in mind, because it's definitely related to this item, even though it's not the same thing.
Okay, he's back.
Oh, sorry about that. I got dropped off the call and was switching from the Adobe back to the call. I got dialed out again. I was just going to say that this is going to be a discussion item led by GDD staff. GDD staff are in the process of implementing the consistent labeling and display track of Thick Who Is. And they've also been asked or directed by the ICANN board to implement the recommendations of the the translation, transliteration of contact information, PDP. And they're thinking there's a lot of sort of consistencies between that PDP and the consistent labeling and display of Thick Who Is, as well as the implementation of the Registry Directory Access Protocol, RDAP. So they're trying to bundle all of those together. And what's going on here is that this is just sort of a proposal to merge the translation transliteration PDP with the Thick Who Is, and it's something basically. There are plenty of reasons why this is probably a good idea. There are a few concerns about it delaying the implementation of Thick Who Is, and staff have predicted that the delay will be up to about maybe 6 months. But it's I think generally this is a good thing. I think it's good that GDD want to get on top of this, and I think it's a good thing that RDAP is being deployed and implemented at this point. And the reason why I think that is because it will make available, it'll allow for domain name registrants to register domain names and providing contact information using their own local language and scripts. Technically it will be an option if registrars start providing the service, they can, it'll be available. I think this is a good thing for domain name registrants in general, and some of the recommendations of the translation transliteration are very important to make that happen, and so any sort of moving forward with implementing that and maybe merging it with Thick Who Is at this point seems like a good call to me. By the way, I'm the council liaison to the Thick Who Is implementation review team, and I was also the council liaison to the transliteration of contact information PDP, and I was pretty active on that PDP, so I know a bit about both. I was on both PDP working groups. From an NCSG perspective, I don't see a problem with merging the two PDPs, the implementation of the two PDPs. I really don't. I'm not personally very concerned with any delays to implementation of Thick Who Is that will result that will come about as a result of merging the two implementations. I was never too fond of Thick Who Is to begin with, and I think it's kind of useless considering that we're looking to redo Who Is in any way. So implementing it is just, well, I don't know. It just seems like a waste of time to me. But translation transliteration is a good thing. The PDP the policy recommendations that came out of that group were pretty good. We had two NCSG members co-chairing that PDP working group, Rudy and Chris Dillon. Neither of them are on the call today. But if this merger does happen, then the implementation review team of Thick Who Is will be open to adding additional members from the translation transliteration PDP. So some folks from that PDP can join the implementation review team and make sure that the implementation is done in accordance with the intent of the policy. So sorry, that may have been a little too much information, but I hope it was helpful.
Thank you, Amr. I think it wasn't too much. Better than too little, I guess. Are there any specific comments about this questions? If not, I get back to the point that this is sort of related to the RDS thing. We're both talking about Who Is, so I think this is a good point to get a review of what's going on in the RDS working group. So, Stephanie, could you please fill us up to the update on that?
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. We are still kind of plugging along, working on the work plan. I believe at our last call, we updated you on the fact that we were going over a whole series of documents. We had split up into the data elements working group, the purpose working group, and the privacy working group. And by purpose, I think really people were talking about use cases for Who Is data or for more properly registration data. So now we have a compilation of the documents that were gathered under those groups, understanding that there are a few documents, such as the Article 29 group opinion on purpose with respect to data protection, that we need in both the purpose group and the data protection group. I just picked that one because it's such a core document. So there's been a little bit of bickering back and forth about duplication and all of this, but I think we finally have all those documents. The interesting question is, has anybody read them except the poor saps who put up their hands to volunteer to summarize them? So now we're moving on to our work plan and how we're going to deal with things, and there's been quite a discussion about the order of things. And on this, Chuck Gomes has been adamant that we don't look at purpose first. We are looking at the data elements first, and they're calling them, I think, requirements. And, of course, to those of us who think in terms of data protection, they aren't requirements. They're desires, they're wishes, half of which are illegal from a data protection perspective. So I think it's problematic, and I know Kathy feels very passionately about it, that we should look at data protection first. I can't even think about it in any ways except to look at data protection purpose first, because if you don't have a proper purpose for the gathering of the data, you shouldn't be in the business. End of statement. However, it doesn't look like we're going to win this battle. So then the question is, what strategy do we take to carry on? And I'm not sure that we have a good strategy. And I see Amr has put in the chat there that there's some work on data elements that he's behind on. Don't feel bad. I'm still behind on a major document that the Article 29 group have come out with, and that is the rights and responsibilities of the data controller. And that's a key document. But I must admit, I'm despairing that we're going to get anybody to look at these things seriously right now, partly because this stage of the review, at least the PDP, we are not making policy decisions. So this is going to be very slow, I think. And I invite all the others who are on this group to jump in here. I think that gives you an update of where we are. We went over the work plan, and we're about to get started. And in particular, David, who's a vice chair, please give us your thoughts about what's going to happen next and how long it's going to take.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. Dave, you were just called upon to give your point of view. You want to say something?
As Stephanie says, we're still trying to wrap up the work plan. It is really quite overcomplicated for a work plan, partly because we keep having those sort of fights over it that as Stephanie described. I heard Chuck is fairly adamant that we need to sort of talk about what we might want to do with a to repeat the sort of EWG process and start looking at what we might want to do with a new RDS rather than sort of look at the data elements and so on, which I think he thinks is sort of too steeped in the existing history of who is or something. But at least we have managed to make sure that privacy and so on has been looked at in some detail before we get started on that. We have a big session in Helsinki. We've got sort of a 3-hour cross-community session and then a 3-hour working group session. The working session will be open as well. We're definitely wanting everybody we can who feels like they can contribute to those discussions to be there. I'm not expecting we'll be sort of dramatically moving ahead before Helsinki. But yeah, and if there are specific questions, please, about the progress in that group, please ask. It was really good to get the document process sort of going. I think that was really helpful. Anyone else has any questions, please ask.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Stephanie, you want to continue?
Yes, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I forgot to mention that we are about to send out a letter to constituencies and the broader Grand Public to make comments on five questions, and that is apparently going out. Well, we'll get the document back at the end of the week. I am asking myself and asking everybody else, do we make a major effort to get comments at this stage of the game, or do we let this one ride? Because if you look at this massive mind map thing that they've come up with for the work plan, there is quite a bit of iterative consult and then consult again. And we have to think about donor burnout here. If we keep going to groups and asking them to comment on stuff, particularly bland, high-level stuff that they can't get their heads around, I think we're going to burn people out. So it's a serious question. We don't want to miss an opportunity to consult and then discover that 200 intellectual property lawyers get put comments in and we didn't get anything in. On the other hand, we don't want to pester people like data commissioners to make a comment on something that really is kind of useless. So if people have thoughts on that from a strategic point of view, I personally would love to hear it. I'm prepared to go out and beat the bushes, but I'm not sure that now is the right time. We'll know better, of course, when we see the document, whether the questions are useful, you know.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. Any other comments on the topic? Anybody want to reply to Stephanie's call for should we make a major effort to get comments now? No? Okay, I'll leave that in the air then. Thank you, Stephanie, for the update. Let's move on. Item 9 in the council agenda is call for volunteers for a number of liaisons. Anybody want to tell if they are going to volunteer or ask if somebody should, or otherwise comment on this? It would be interesting to hear if any of our councillors are planning to volunteer for the post. Amr, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Amr. Sorry, it took me a second to get off mute. No, I'm not volunteering for this, but I just figured since you asked for anyone to comment on this, just going to say that the reason this is on the council agenda is because Phil Corwin was appointed by the GNSL Council as the council liaison to this PDP, and as such, he is also working as an interim chair until the council confirms the new chairs, including Kathy, as part of the consent agenda on Thursday. So that's why there's a need for a new council liaison to the group. But no, I'm not volunteering. If anybody else would like to, please go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. So it doesn't sound like any of our councillors are planning to volunteer, but well, you have time to consider that. Let's hope somebody does. Okay. If there's no other... Okay, Stephanie, you want to comment on this?
I'm actually commenting on something I forgot off the Hutu update, is that we have another review coming for who is. It's a mandatory thing. We had a little discussion about this. It looks like we can't stop it. Bruce Tonkin has put a suggestion as to how to keep it minimal. But somebody's got to volunteer to be on this who is review team,
and I thought I would volunteer for that. I'm already council liaison for the RDS, but I don't think that disqualifies me for trying to be on the Who Is Review. And I suspect that Kathy's got her hands full now. She's got the RPM chair. So, and I know she's doing tons of work on the RDS. So that was what I was just going to say I was going to volunteer for. Sorry for the non sequitur, but I didn't want to leave it behind.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. I don't think anything can disqualify you apart possibly from being doing too much yourself. Anyway, I don't think there is anything else to be said about this subject. We have one more item in the agenda, council agenda, but since Robin still hasn't shown up, let's first take a quick look at the public comments that are upcoming, and if Robin still doesn't show up, we can see, talk about that anyway. So, Mariam, can you get us the public comment list on the screen? Okay, in the
Tapani, this is Amar.
Yes.
But before we start, before you go to the open public comments right now, could we also take a minute to hear from maybe from Avri? She's not on the call anymore. Oh, I was hoping to hear from her on the new utility subsequent procedures PDP as well. That's the other. This is the last major PDP that's going on right now, and I think there's at least one important update that we should hear from her. But it looks like, and she's a co-chair of that group, but it looks like she left the call.
Yeah, she's gone. If somebody else wants to update us on that, I would be happy to hear it.
This is Amar again, Tapani. I can't claim to be able to give a very thorough update, but I can say that there is one important issue on that PDP right now, which is also still in its very early stages. Towards the end of this week, the PDP working group should be finalizing a letter that is going to go out to the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, asking them to collect all previous inputs to previous new GTLD rounds. So it would be very helpful and very informative to the PDP working group if the NCSG has access to all its previous comments and sort of get those in there so that they can be considered along with others. This is obviously work that's probably been done years ago. I'm not sure how or where we would find these documents. We could try to get staff to help us with some of them, but I'm hoping that some of our members have in their own archives the various inputs the NCSG or NCUC or MPOC have provided into any of these processes in the past. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And I understand Milton wants to speak something. Did I get that right? No?
Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I've been following some aspects of the bylaw drafting, and first of all, I want to know if anybody is actually in charge of preparing a comment on the bylaws draft for NCSG. Not yet.
Okay. No. So actually, you seem to be dropping the public comment on draft new ICANN bylaws, which has a deadline on 21st. Yeah, we can talk about that now if you like. Anybody else? Milton?
I wanted to point out one of the issues that's come up. There's a variety of very subtle ways in which ICANN seems to be trying very hard to hang on to the IANA as a integrated single entity that it runs. So in the mission statement, we had these grandfathering clauses, and the lawyers inserted a bunch of clauses that essentially grandfathered contracts that don't exist yet, including the PTI contract, the contract with, I guess, the NRO or the ASO, and the root zone management contract. And people in the IETF were very disturbed about this. Some people in Internet Society also, and privately made some indications that they thought this was intentional and it wasn't just a screw up. And anyway, the IETF has written very strong comments against that, and there seems to be some momentum building to get rid of that part of the bylaws draft. So I would encourage us to support that movement. It also looks like my concerns about renewals of the registry and registrar contracts were recognized, and that the committee will modify the language a little bit to make sure that if there are new terms put into the conditions, that they will not be grandfathered. They will be subject to challenges based on the mission statement. So most of the things I've been paying attention to have been focused on the mission statement and the attempt to exempt certain things from any challenges. And it's really weird when those things don't exist yet, so you can't even know whether they are part of the whether they are conformant to the mission. There's another little subtle thing. The group was creating a root zone evolution committee that would be somebody that you could throw something where there's some kind of major reconfiguration of the root zone required. And an example of that would be the implementation of DNSSEC, where you had to really do a lot of changes in the configuration and procedures for modifying the root zone. So when we were doing the names proposal, we said, you know, what if something like this happens again? You need to kind of reorganize the whole process. It's not really something that you can just handle through the RZM contract or through the PTI contract. You'd need to bring the root server operators in. Maybe you'd need to bring the numbers people in. So we created this committee, and the committee has the ICANN people and a certain ALAC person are pushing to make this committee kind of very powerful. They're saying this is replacing the NTIA. It has the ability to like oversee all IANA functions. And again, we see ICANN staff, namely David Conrad, pushing for a kind of a conceptualization of the IANA functions as this unified whole under ICANN's dominion, rather than as three separate functions that are contracted by three separate communities. So I'm fighting to make sure that this committee is focused only on the names root zone. Well, that all probably sounds very obscure and technical, but I just wanted to get that out there on the table.
Okay, thank you, Milton. I see Carlos.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Yes. Thank you, Topani. This is Carlos for the record. Milton, are you going to participate in the council meeting, or do you expect somebody to raise this issue at the council meeting, or this was just outside of the council agenda? I've been trying to read what you write, but to tell you the truth, I don't understand a lot now with your explanation. I think I can follow, but in terms of next Thursday, you see this issue coming up at the GNSO Council? Thank you.
I think it could, yeah. I think this evolution of the Root Zone Committee, the best place for that to come up would be in the council. The other stuff, I think, that can stay with the comments on the draft bylaws. And so I think anybody could comment on that, and it wouldn't have to go through the council. But this committee, I think it might be good to stiffen the spine of some of the names, the registries and registrars, and say, you know, this is supposed to be just focused on the names side of things and not this expansive committee that sort of assumes that ICANN runs all of the IANA functions.
Thank you, Milton. And for Carlos, you know that this is also the open public comment. That's closing date on 21st May, so we directly related to that. So even if it doesn't come up on Thursday, we can talk about it here. Any other comments on this specific item? We're looking at the open public draft new ICANN bylaws, which yes, was pretty closely related to. No? Looking further at a list of public comments, does anybody have something to say about this .Torre and .Pictet TLDs? No? How about the next one? Sounds more interesting to me, at least, that the new GLD program safeguards to mitigate DNS abuse. Any of our counselors interested in that, or anybody else? Deadline is rather soon on that one, so if we want to say something, that it's pretty soon.
Tapani?
Carlos, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm talking too much, I know. But we are discussing the safeguards on the DNS abuse document in the CCT review team in one of these groups. We are going to discuss this paper tomorrow, in fact, in our meeting of the subgroup. I'm a little bit worried about the document. I mean, it's a very funny document. It collects some information, which is fine. It proposes some semantics of the abuse issues, which is not complete. But the last part, it proposes some statistical studies which are, I mean, rich enough to do a PhD work. And coming from GDD, I think it's a very strange proposal. We're going to discuss it tomorrow, and I might report what happens tomorrow in the CCT review team, but it's really a strange document. I don't want to take more time right now, but if somebody is interested, we might follow up that in emails afterwards. Let me know if somebody wants to have a feedback after the CCT meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. A note about in the chat that somebody's going to follow up on this one, so good. Anybody else on this? The other remaining open public comments don't seem likely to be of much interest to us. We don't have any Cambodian members, as far as I know, so I somehow don't expect anybody to be particularly interested in the Khmer skip to zone label generation rules. Oh, yes. Any comments? No. And how about the release of the names .Hyundai, KIA, and .GoDaddy? Any comments on that one? No. Okay, doesn't seem we have anything else to say about the public comments. And even though Robin still hasn't shown up, the only thing we have is that I'm not done with my agenda is the discussion of the implementation of the IANA stewardship transition plan. We don't have Robin here, we don't have Ed here either. Anybody else want to open up this? Harzi, please go ahead.
No, sorry, that was just a mistake. I want to talk on AOB, but that was just a mistake. Sorry about that.
Okay, we'll get to AOB next, but and this one, to IANA transition, anybody else? Okay. Well, let's look at that AOB session then, and if somebody turns up wants to get back to this after that, we can do that, or if Robin does show up. So, Harzi, will you explain what that AOB issue was you had in mind?
Yes, okay, thank you, Faizan Abadi. I I kept listening to this NCSG session, and to be honest, the amount of work is overwhelming. And I am wondering if we are using our full capacity for doing all these public comments and getting people involved with working groups. And at the moment, we do have a bunch of very active newcomers that want work. So why don't we, I can see Ines here. Ines is trying to be active, and she's done well. I can see Carol. I can see a lot of people who would be interested to take up my task. So we need a little bit of strategy to get these people involved in various things, because all these things that you are saying is very overwhelming. And also our public comments, we are missing on a lot of public comments because we just don't have the time, we don't have the bandwidth. The problem, I don't think we don't have the members to do this. I think the problem is that we are not, we are so, what kind of like doing various work that we overlook that we have these members that can do work. So I have an idea. I think what we could do is to, I can ask Marianne what sort of tasks these members talked about and what is there to do, and then kind of inform our members newly participating or like the ones that want to get engaged to work with us on these issues. And work with them, train them, tell them more about the subject, talk to them on an individual basis. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you, Farzi. That is a common and chronic problem we have, how to get the newcomers up to speed. Anybody willing to say two to them would be most welcome. I see that Marilia, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tapani, thanks. Another suggestion following up what Farzi mentioned. I think that from the last ICANN meeting until now, we had some good examples, and one of them that I highlight is the comments that we produced on CSG that was facilitated by Aidin, which is relatively a newcomer to the group. And I think that he worked extremely well. We know, but maybe it would be the case to talk to Aidin and maybe do something like a short blog post or an interview with him in which he talks in the first person about how it was the experience being relatively a newcomer to facilitate the work of the group, to present a public comment, how did he feel. I think that maybe seeing a real life, a real case study that could inspire others that did not try to do that to try next time. So that is an idea. Another thing that we were thinking about, and we already reached out to Tapani with that, we just didn't have time to implement it yet, is to conduct survey with our membership to try to understand which are exactly our expertises and what are the interests of our members. Because I feel like when we throw things on the list, sometimes it is effective, someone picks up, but if we as the PC could do a more individual one-on-one approach and specifically go after people that have interest in that, maybe it will be more effective. But for that we need to map this interest. So Matthew, Dave and I will start working on a survey. Right now I think we're a bit overloaded. If someone else wants to contribute with questions to the survey, that would help us understand and map the interests of the group, that will be much appreciated. So the survey and the blog post with AD in highlighting as a successful story, that would be my suggestions. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. They both sound like excellent suggestions to me. On the survey issue, that one plan I've been having is that when we hopefully soon get the new member database managed, it should have a section on member, where members can indicate their expertise and interests so that, and keep them up to date. But that's not going to happen fast enough for this purpose, so let's get this poll done, questionnaire done, and everybody is indeed encouraged to help. And also getting the Aidin to talk would be a nice idea. Any other comments here? Aurelia, your hand is still up. You want to continue? Just an old hand? No?
Old hand, sorry.
Okay. Arzi, you want to continue?
Yes, hi. Amr, I agree with Amr. I think that the PC is very busy. And if you also want to do capacity building and get members engaged, I don't think you will get the time to do it. And so what I suggest is kind of like an ad hoc approach to this. Of course, it's important to know the members' interests and what they want to do, but an ad hoc approach, like, for example, someone, and I have noticed that people get engaged better when you come up with the preliminary text, which can be even one paragraph in public comments, for example, and then people come and add to it and comment on it. So what I would suggest is to, for example, I'll talk to Kathy and I will understand what she needs and which group she's working on, what are the interests of the group and what we should be working on, how many people should volunteer and what sort of background they should have. And then what I can do is that I can go and talk to our members and post it to the mailing list. Am I creating a task for myself here? It sounds like it, but anyway. So I'm just saying that let's just take an ad hoc approach at the moment, and I will do that, which way works better.
Thank you, Versi. That is something I very much like to hear, people volunteering to do things. And I see in the chat that Ines is also volunteering to help you there, I think. So that sounds like a good thing. Do we have any other business? I know that traffic has just joined us when we are about to close. We are on any other topic now in... And the last discussion was about how to get newcomers more engaged, which is one of our perennial topics, as you well know. Anybody else? Any other topics? Rafik, you want to do everything? Price of beer in Helsinki is something to worry about, I'm afraid, yeah. It's almost as expensive as in Norway. Okay, Farzi, you have your hand up again.
I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you guys here, but it just came to my mind. I wanted to know if we are doing something for outreach. If we are not doing something for outreach, I think we should be. I think the whole point that we are having these ICANN meetings in different regions is to do outreach. Like we could just do it in one venue and would have been much easier for everyone. I'm thinking if ICANN is going to help us to do our outreach and if we are going to have like a venue or something, then that's good. If not, I think we should just take the initiative and do it ourselves.
Thank you, Farzi. What does what related to the Helsinki meeting in particular? Okay.
Yeah, outreach. I meant outreach in Helsinki.
Yes. Okay. Good. I see that now I have a lot of hands up. So,
yes, Farzi, there is a questionnaire going around about the effectiveness of the non-contracted party house, and the deadline has been extended because nobody commented. So I think it's a great opportunity to remind us of these questions that were sent out by Tony Holmes 10 days ago. They're based on the Los Angeles meeting, and apparently nobody has used the opportunity. I think it would be great if you can bring some thoughts on that questionnaire. Thank you.
Hi, this is Stephanie. It just must be my turn now. With respect to what Carlos just mentioned, I signed up for the list, the email list for that group, and I haven't received anything, so I signed up again, and they told me somebody must be fraudulently trying to pretend to be me. So I'm really curious about what that group is doing. I haven't filled out that questionnaire yet, but I'm going to do it. If anybody knows what that group's doing, I'd love to hear it. And then secondly, on the matter of outreach, it seems to me Raul had said that he was keen on doing outreach when we went to Helsinki. He's not on this call today, I don't think, but maybe we could get a group together to help pull that together, because it seems a shame to lose the opportunity to do outreach. Thanks.
Hello?
Oh, now we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay. So maybe I can respond to the question first. For that group, there was one call, and that's why the question was shared, looking for input. And there is plan to have another call. Maybe the no response question is good signal that not everyone has a kind of strong interest to discuss this issue. Maybe it's not good timing. I guess we will see in the next call what will happen. But as far as I know, there was no discussion in mailing list or whatever. Just we had one call, which was more like repeating what was discussed in LA somehow, and trying to figure out how we the working group should be set up and how it should work. Regarding outreach, one issue is that there were in the initial schedule there were some slot for stakeholder group and constituency to do kind of outreach for 90 minutes and so on. However, GNSO Council, I guess, or the representative from GNSO dismissed that and used the different slot. It was supposed in the first day, day one, and used the different slot for GNSO Council session and meeting. So we don't have that anymore. Moreover, because it's meeting format B, it's unlikely to get a venue before day one. So there is a lot of restriction in terms to get venue or support, and even my understanding that there won't be so much ICANN staff from the global stakeholder engagement in Helsinki. So there are a lot of change with regard to outreach. If people want to do it, it will be really kind of effort without a lot of support. So depends how much we want to spend time or effort on that.
Okay. Thank you, Rafik. You have anything else to add? Okay. I note that Robin Gross has joined us, and I've been hoping she'd give us a brief get back to that subject of CCWG at the INF transition. Well, Rafik, you have something more to say? Your hand is still up? No? Okay, so Robin, we kind of skipped the discussion on the INAT stewardship transition and CCWG, waiting for you to come up, so maybe
okay.
You would like to update us on that.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Thank you. Go
Great.
Ahead.
Great. Okay. So right now what's happened is the Workstream 1 issues, those were the accountability reform issues that had to be in place or committed to before the IANA transition could take place. Those were approved by the ICANN board, and now the lawyers have come up with the draft bylaws to try to implement a lot of the reforms that came in out of Workstream 1. So those draft bylaws have been drafted, and they're posted now on ICANN's website for public comment until, I believe, May 21st. So if anyone would like to comment on those draft bylaws, you have an opportunity to do so. The constituencies and the stakeholder groups as groups can also do so. I don't particularly see a lot of particularly pressing issues. I think that the lawyers did a pretty good job in terms of drafting bylaws that conform with what the report actually said. I know there are various issues that various people are still unhappy with that are in the report, and you know there's always fandangling to try to get things changed. But I think for the most part, the lawyers and the group has been pretty faithful to the recommendations and that were contained within the Workstream 1 report, and so that's what we've got before us now. I also want to point out that Workstream 2 is going to really kick into gear in beginning in Helsinki. There isn't going to be a lot of the accountability sessions that we've seen in recent ICANN meetings. In the Helsinki meeting, they scheduled one for the Sunday before, but they didn't offer. ICANN is not providing travel support for the CCWG accountability members, so a number of us won't be able to attend the Helsinki meeting, and there won't be other discussions scheduled, or at least there haven't been thus far, and I don't think there's an expectation that there will be other discussions scheduled outside of that Sunday meeting. However, that Sunday meeting will be very important for Workstream 2, and I'd like to sort of make a call for more NCSG members to join. We've had a lot of really good quality participation in the last year and a half from NCSG members, both in numbers and in substance, but we need more. We've got a lot more issues that are coming to bear, and we need sort of fresh legs and new blood, and there are a lot of issues that folks might care about, issues like transparency, trying to get more transparency in ICANN's operations. The board deliberations, the board minutes, the way the organization operates, just generally trying to create more of a culture of transparency. DIDP reform, which is the document information disclosure policy, which is supposed to be the policy by which ICANN releases information to the public, but it's the policy by which ICANN refuses to release information to the public. So that's on the agenda to be reformed in Workstream 2. Issues like staff accountability, that's also on the agenda for Workstream 2. There's some concern about, or at least some question about how the organization uses things like bonuses and incentive structures in order to meet certain objectives, and there's concern about the extent to which those objectives, in fact, conform with community policy and the what's in the best wishes of the community. The ombudsman reform, trying to figure out how to get that office to be useful to the community, that's also on the agenda for Workstream 2. So there's a lot of issues, and I want to encourage more people to join and to participate. There'll be a number of subgroups that are set up. Of course, the human rights issue, we need to come up with the frame of interpretation for that, and that's a big issue for Workstream 2. And so we've had a number of members of NCSG who've been very active on that issue, particularly Niels and Tatiana. And I know they would appreciate some support in that sort of sub-issue within the accountability workstream two issues. So I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of things because this is all just sort of from the top of my head. But I want to encourage folks to join in one of the subgroups and just sort of roll up your sleeves and take on some of the workload. And if anyone has any questions or concerns, please let me know.
Thank you, Robin. I see that Stephanie has her hand up already. So, Stephanie, please.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, and thanks for the update, Robin. I think I probably speak for a few of us when I say I tried my best to follow the work over the past year on the CCWG and on the accountability issues, and really it's daunting. That's thought number one. Thought number two is you guys are a pretty intense group, and you know each other really well. I mean, that kind of thing happens with PDPs, but not quite like this one. So I think one is a little intimidated to go jumping in and join now that we're in what might be called the implementation phase. So in all these things, one can benefit from mentoring. Can we set up some kind of a buddy system so that I don't put my foot in my mouth and just say something really stupid in these groups? We need you guys to help us do something useful if we join in at this point. I certainly feel passionately about staff accountability and the transparency process and the ombudsman, so I'd like to join those subgroups. But I like catching up on all this homework, even though I tried my best to follow it, is massive. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. I see Fazine, you want to speak. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to respond to Stephanie. Stephanie, although it's, the work stream two, although it's related to work stream one, I think you can pick and choose, what you want to focus on, and you can easily catch, because, we are not going to, I don't think in any of these groups they are going to, kind of continue discussion. They are going to come up with new topics and work on those. But the thing is that you are right in that you need to kind of have a background. And for each of these groups, for each of these topics, I think we have active NCSG members. There is on transparency, you can ask Ed on the human rights. You can ask Tatiana and Neil. On the staff accountability, we don't really have at the moment. I don't think anyone has really discussed much the staff accountability, and so we could actually have focal points. I don't know how much time they have for mentoring, but I think that's a good idea, and we can pick up on that. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Farzi. Anybody else wants to comment on this or any other subject? Our time is stretching. Okay, Rafik, go ahead.
Hey, sorry, since I just wake up, I'm more active. So just a question, was the Helsinki schedule discussed or not? I know I joined late, but just to check.
It was briefly discussed, and it basically decided that we should request for an NZSG meeting, and Stephanie here volunteered to work with me and drafting a request for that. Yeah, go ahead.
But for that, we know that there is no so much available time slot to organize against the session for GNSO Council or Working PDP. the PDP working group. I guess we are talking here about lunch break session.
We haven't quite worked out what, but we'll ask for what we can get, basically.
Okay.
But the consensus was that we should try to ask for something.
Okay, sure.
If you want to join us, with that is me and Stephanie working on that, you're most welcome. I think trying to come up with something tomorrow, so that when it comes up...
Yeah, I think... Yes, I mean, because we have just 4 days, and depends if we want also for constituency, but I'm fine that NCAG have the sessions, most of them, for internal discussions about policy.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Rafik, you're holding your hand up. Does it mean you want to keep talking? We've got about 5 minutes to go. Anybody else want to have something up? Something that fits under any other business or whatever? Or should we call this meeting done and go to sleep or keep working for those who are just woken up? Okay, I see no hands up. So thank you everybody for a nice meeting. Let's call it done. Thank you very much everybody, and you can stop the recording.
Thank you very much everyone for attending the meeting. Zane, you may stop the recording now. Thank you for your support.